You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
From Vineyard Theater in New York City, this is Theater Uncorked, where Vineyard artists come together to talk about the process of bringing new works to the stage. I'm your host, Eric Bargach. For our inaugural episode, we are thrilled to have actor and playwright Coleman Domingo in conversation with five-time Tony Award-winning director and choreographer Susan Stroman. You may recognize Coleman Domingo from his work as Strand on AMC's Fear the Walking Dead. He also stars in several films, including Selma and the current Sundance Film Festival sensation, The Birth of a Nation. Coleman's first Vineyard collaboration was A Boy in His Soul, a one-man show which he wrote and starred in. He also starred in our production of Candor and Ebb's The Scottsboro Boys, receiving a Best Performance Tony nomination when it transferred to Broadway and an Olivier nomination on the West End. His play Wild with Happy premiered at The Public and was published by Dramatis Play Service. And his newest play, Dot, opened on the Vineyard main stage in February 2016 to great acclaim. Susan Stroman's illustrious career includes directing and choreographing the Tony Award-winning Best Musical Contact and The Producers, winner of a record-making 12 Tony Awards. She went on to direct the movie of The Producers, which was nominated for 4 Golden Globe Awards. She also won the Tony in choreography for Showboat and Crazy for You. Susan started her choreography career in New York at The Vineyard with Flora the Red Menace. She later returned here to direct The Scottsboro Boys and is back again to direct Dot. We had the two artists in to chat while Dot was in previews. And now for Susan Stroman and Coleman Domingo in Theater Uncorked at The Vineyard.
You know what? I think maybe we should let people know how we met.
Yes, okay. You can start that, Coleman.
I can start first. Okay. Well, first of all, it started with The Vineyard Theater, and Doug Abel sent me a script called The Scottsboro Boys. And he said, oh, you know, we're doing the workshop of this, and Susan Stroman's directing, written by Candor and Ebb, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, whoa, they have the wrong person. I said, it's Susan Stroman. I'm not that kind of singer and dancer. And oh my God, I'd be terrified. So I was like, I said no at first. I said, oh, I think I'm not right. I don't want to look crazy. So they came back again and said, wait, Susan and Candor, they really would like you to consider this, do this workshop. And they understand that you're not a dancer. They understand that, you know, you say you're a character singer. They understand all that, and that's what they want. So, okay, then I'd love to, to do that. And then when I came in there, and it just felt so right. We felt at home, and we started playing. And you guys asked me to, give what I give, and you were interested in how my mind works as an artist, and I just felt like, wow, what a team, how cool, and I just fell in love with you both.
Oh, it was an amazing time, just creating that piece, because, for one thing, working with John Candor mm-hmm. is always a privilege, and I always feel blessed to know John Candor, but the minute you walked in the room, Coleman, Candor, and I knew how special you were. It emanates from you. And so, it's funny because you are a personality singer and a personality dancer, and that's exactly what I needed. I needed the real deal.
Oh, cool.
And you had it all. And also, because you're so creative, you're more than just an actor, a writer, and just so smart. Your contribution in rehearsals, all of it, was just not only comforting but fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Have an actor like you and many of the actors that we hired for that show had a wonderful sensibility and a creative spirit that helped us mold the piece.
Yeah.
In the end, it became your piece. And, it's a time I'll never forget, a very, very special time. Mm. But also, Coleman, I don't think I've ever told you this, it's very rare when a director gets a leader of a company and you think you do. You think you probably, I'm sure people think, oh, there's probably one person that's the leader of the company. Hmm. No, that doesn't happen. That really doesn't happen. I've had that twice in all the shows that I've done in my 30 years. I had Boyd Gaines in Contact was the leader of a company, and Coleman Domingo was the leader of the company in the Scottsboro Boys. And it's a very special role to play because the actors look up to this particular person and follow his lead in professionalism.
Thank you.
And his guide. And I don't mean that he's a leader as a dictator or anything, but a kind of comforting guide of how to deal with situations. And you were that person. And it's a rare gift for a director to have that person in a company. And we often talk about it, about that time and about you and our experiences. And my goodness, the Scottsboro Boys ended up, you know, I think I've done 9 productions of it now, you know, and you got to play on the West End.
Yeah, and I got to do 5 productions of it. But also I want to say that the room that you set up is like, as a director, the room that you set up is a room that is a rare room. And it's a room where the level and the expectation is for you to bring your very best every single day, for you to take care of your body, your mind, take care of each other. And you lay it out. And if you're listening, you're like, oh, this person's empowering me to make a change that I am responsible for what I bring into the room. So it just makes it, I know that working with, you know, Forrest McClendon, my co-leader in a way, he's the quiet one, the shyer one, but I think that we would always prepare to be ready 3 scenes ahead, because also you were like, okay, what do you guys got? What do you got? And who asks that these days? Usually you walk into a room and people, like, they say, I have this so set up, and you try to make your way into it, but you laid the foundation, like, and the way you're prepared and the way you've thought about everything, but then you say, okay, now what are you thinking? And I think that's the joy. And I think from that spirit as well, you know, ended up in 5 productions of the Scottsboro Boys. And then by the time we got to London and we're sitting across a table, that it made sense. It just made sense that I saw you as the director of Dot. At the Vineyard Theater, where we began this journey.
Yes, we went out to a wonderful lunch during rehearsals for the Scottsboro Boys, mm-hmm. and you started to talk about Dot, and you know, I couldn't say yes fast enough of wanting to be a part of it and read it, and now my experience here has been so lovely, and I feel, I don't know, more enriched and just fuller with love, just of having this experience of Dot at the Vineyard. For one thing, we love the Vineyard. We love it. I mean, it has to be applauded for being a theater that does new work, supports new artists, supports new pieces, and new actors. And that can't be said for our fellow nonprofits in
absolutely
in the city. So they really do need to be applauded for taking chances, like they took a chance on the Scottsboro Boys.
Yeah.
But even knowing I was coming down to the Vineyard, I was excited about even being back here. But then on top of it, to be directing a play that was written by you after all of what we had gone through and been through together, and you know, I feel like we have this closeness that's sort of unspoken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every time I see you, it's so exciting to see you.
I feel the same way.
And so the idea that now I was going to be rehearsing this play in this wonderful place, you know, I really, it was like, and that was, and it started like the day after the new year.
Yeah.
So it was like I was starting the new year just being the opportunity to be creative in a comfortable environment and a protective environment. And that's rare.
And this is your first play that you've directed,
yes,
right?
It's my first play.
Right.
I know.
Why is that?
I don't know. But, you know, it's interesting because I've had playwrights call me to want to meet with me And I get excited that they want me to do their play, but what they want me to do is take their play and make it into a musical. So it's not that I haven't been thought of by playwrights, but they want me to now make what they've written into a musical.
I think that'll change now, Ms. Stroman. Yeah. I think that'll change. I from my experience, I think it'll change because I think that what I have loved and what I knew instinctively about you as a director and how detailed you are, how specific you are, how passionate you are, I just thought, the play is what it is, and it's about a family, and it's about a family in crisis, but they're in crisis to fight, to hold on, to love each other. And I know that from my experience with the Scottsboro Boys and other things you've done, where your heart is. And I thought, and also how you can make magic out of it as well. And the language has a musicality to it.
Yes.
And it has, it's a gorgeous dance. It's a dance. It's a comedy of manners. And I thought, you know, rhythm and texture and all of that. I thought, oh my gosh, this is the director I need for this piece. to sing in a different way. You know, not to say, you know, the other director, she's a wonderful director as well. It's a different sensibility. You know, Meredith McDonagh's production was stunning and gorgeous, and what we created there, I value so much. And I think it was just it's just a different production. And it's not that it's apples and oranges, and I wanted to experience this.
Yes.
With these eyes that you know these magical eyes that you have.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.
Well, you know, what's interesting, too, is that we both grew up in the same area.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're from Philadelphia, and I'm from Wilmington, Delaware, so I'm 20 minutes away.
Yes.
And so going to Philly was, you know, very much a part of my life. And so the characters and the sensibilities, we are very much alike. And when I read the play, I knew these people.
Yes, that's the first thing you say. You're like, oh, this is my sister's in here.
Yeah, my sister's in here. So it's very much a part of us together, you know, that we would have a Charles Chips can on stage or tasty
yes.
cake boxes.
Yes,
you know.
And get the same amount of excitement
yes.
about it.
They'd
be like, oh, it's very...
A little Liberty Bell yes. on the piano. You know, those things are just being from Philadelphia, being from that area, you know, people are quite proud to be from that area.
Yeah.
And it'll never leave us. So that was another thing. Who you are writing this play about an area of the country I know so well and grew up in and very much part of me.
Mm-hmm.
So it did seem like a perfect fit.
And you know how these people speak and how
yes.
they
yes.
relate, the behavior.
Yes.
Which I think is very specific to the area too. It's
yes.
like, you know, it's like a lot of working class people
yes.
and, you know, people who are really colorful. And I began writing this play watching four very close friends of mine deal with a parent with suffering with dementia. And just watching their process, or Alzheimer's, and watching their struggle, watching their strength, watching their humor, watching the way they wrestle with their families. And I thought I wanted to write a play about it. I didn't know exactly how, but I knew it would start in that opening scene, because it was actually my experience going back home and sitting with a friend and having this conversation where, you know, Miss Phyllis, she looked absolutely, she seemed the same in every single way. And she would always say, good old, she always called me, you know, they call me Jay for my nickname. And they go, good old Jay, as if I'm in a Leave It to Beaver episode. She always says, good old Jay, how you doing? And we start talking and laughing. And then she was, you know, fussing with the daughter, and her daughter was just, you know, mom, look, you said that and whatever. And I didn't understand what was happening. And then she repeated again to me the same thing that we spoke about 15 minutes ago. And I it was my first time experiencing someone who had dementia, and I didn't understand what was going on, because, you know, everything, she seemed fine. She seemed just like the woman I grew up with. And so I wanted to start writing a play about that. So I think I started writing that first scene. And then as I was researching, I found this exercise, that 12-minute virtual dementia exercise. And I knew that I had to use that in the piece. And I really thought, okay, this is a part of the climax. But I write in a sense of like, I don't know how I'm going to get there, but get started. And so I start with the opening scene, and then people come in and tell me that they need to be in the play. Uh-huh. You know, yeah. I just listen. And then I realize that, she's got a brother and he's dealing with this, and they've got a younger sister, and here are the dynamics, and this is where they all hold the piece. And with the struggling, and then I start to open up to the neighborhood and what the neighborhood is like. And within a neighborhood, then I invited another character into the play. And so then the play just takes on a life of its own. And or the caregiver, and, you know, certain things are based in some truths that I know about people and human behavior, but then they become an amalgamation of many people. And so then it became this thing that I started writing, and then it started moving very quickly. And that's what I really believe, is like the moment you hopefully, if we're guided by spirit or something, that we're saying this needs to be written, people need to hear this story. And with that spirit, I wrote the first 30 pages, and then in New York Theater Workshop invited me to come to Dartmouth to do some work on it. I had a cast who I always cast, Sharon Washington. She's been one of my muse ever since we met on the Scottsboro Boys, and she had one line, and now I give her many lines. So we went up to Dartmouth, and I finished the first draft in a week.
Wow.
And then from there, I just put it onto the universe, and after that first draft, I sent it to Les Waters and Meredith McDonagh, and they responded within 24 hours.
Wow.
With an offer at the Humana Festival.
Oh gosh.
And I thought, wow, but I knew that we were onto something. And once again, I always love when I'm very much a fan of theaters willing to, and you know, theater producers, listen to this. I'm very much a fan of producing theater, not workshopping it to death.
Yeah.
But sometimes it just needs to live and have its production and all its flaws, and mm-hmm. and give it that time. Let us see these big ideas and wrestle with it in rehearsal and put it up.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I better feel like we need that spirit of like, okay, let's do this. Let's not read it to death.
Yes.
You know, let's do it. And so we did it, and it was wonderful. And, you know, the Vineyard immediately came on board, even before we went to Humana, saying that they wanted to do it. So it had that spirit that it must be done. And so within 2 years, here we are at the Vineyard Theater.
I know, amazing.
And now here we are with this incredible team. And
I know, it's wonderful.
You know?
I think, too, the subject matter, Coleman, is very, right now, for some reason, it seems to be very prevalent of people talking about Alzheimer's, mm-hmm. people who now have early onset Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Which I had never heard of before. And so now I think everyone in the audience either knows someone or knows about someone.
It's in the zeitgeist.
It is. It's very present. And the way you've dealt with it, just to make it be about memory also, and about what it's like for someone to lose their memories, and to have chosen a character like Dottie, who is a fierce woman, and you know, the head of this family, and she's losing memories, and how she's desperately trying to hold on to them. It's just an amazing character, and I think for the audience, the play has a great accessibility. Mm-hmm. They either imagine themselves as one of those characters, or they imagine someone that they know. They could either be a character or know someone very much like them. So I feel we've only had a couple previews, but the audience really sits forward. They are enwrapped with the story, and how the different siblings deal with the mother. You know, the one who's taken the burden of it. The other two aren't believing it's so bad. Mm-hmm. And how the siblings come together in this situation. I just feel like the play will ultimately open up a conversation, and in fact, that's what you want for every play, you want people to leave talking about it and opening up a conversation. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is even going to make an awareness for people with Alzheimer's. It somehow, I feel, is going to go out into the universe there and make people more aware.
Yeah.
And to say, too, that you've done it with such humor, I don't... probably don't feel anybody else would have quite accomplished that.
Thank you.
You've done it with such incredible humor, and so it has the humor and the heartache, and that is rare in a play, to get humor and heartache, and I think that's the play's success, really.
Thank you so much. I think as I said, that I've been watching people deal with it and the way that they get through. The way we get through anything, as we know, I know from even just whether it's, you know, putting both my parents away in 1 year, that the only way I got through with it is by laughing.
Yes.
By I had to laugh through this heartache as well. And so hopefully I enjoy, because also I think I personally enjoy theater where it's right up against each other, the comedy and tragedy. Because that's how we make it through
yes.
all this stuff, because otherwise we fall apart.
Absolutely.
So I was very happy you brought a lovely guest the other night, and I was a little starstruck.
Yes.
And I'm still starstruck. I'm still floating. I feel like, yeah, the play can close now. I'm fine. No, I'm totally kidding. I don't want us to close. We're not just yet. We're still in previews. But when you bring someone like Mel Brooks into the theater, I think I need a proper warning next time.
I know. I just brought it. I said, oh, Coleman, this is my friend Mel. And you were like, what? Like, you couldn't even quite work it out. I think you froze for a second. I know.
I just couldn't believe it.
That I know.
I was saying, because how much I value this man and, you know, your working relationship and just what he means to and craftsmanship and crafting.
Yes. Well, that's what he was so taken by. I mean, the craft of it. You know, because you're writing how it, you know, you set something up and you deliver it in the second act. And, you know, he talked on and on about your writing and about the characters and how he knew that you knew these people. He knew that these people were part of you. He could tell. He said because they were so rich, the characterizations were so rich.
Hmm.
And, you know, he came backstage and he made a fuss over each actor.
Yeah,
each
did he?
Actor.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And he quoted lines from the play to them. You know, there's no one smarter.
Oh, my gosh. He's a smart man.
I know. No more spontaneous in his brain. But he did, you know, was able to quote lines from the show to all the actors and make a fuss over them. It was a lovely, lovely time.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
So I feel like we need to go to rehearsals now after this lovely conversation.
I think you're right.
I have a few notes.
No, you do.
And we're going to work with our lovely cast.
Yes.
But thank you, Coleman, for writing this beautiful, beautiful piece. It's been the most wonderful experience and opportunity. I will be forever grateful.
Thank you so much, Ms. Susan Stroman. I hope all those that are listening out there will really come and join us at the Vineyard Theater for our limited engagement. Come and get some of this love.
And that is it for this episode of Theater Uncorked at the Vineyard. My deepest appreciation to Coleman Domingo and Susan Stroman for a truly amazing conversation and for being our first guests on the podcast. Theater Uncorked at the Vineyard is produced and edited by me, Eric Pargach, Vineyard Theater's Director of Communications and New Media, with help from Melissa Pelkey, our Marketing Director, and Ali Sky Bennett, the Vineyard's Associate Producer. Our theme song is by the amazing Peter Lerman. It was an absolute pleasure to work with an artist as talented as Peter on the music. Huge thanks to Jennifer Garvey Blackwell, the Vineyard's Executive Producer, for helping us to launch our new media efforts here at the Vineyard, and to Artistic Directors Douglas Abel and Sarah Stern, along with the entire Vineyard staff. And finally, thanks to you for listening to Theater Uncorked at the Vineyard.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.